Tumayo po tayong lahat as we read God's Word. Buksan po natin ang ating mga Biblia sa Acts 1 verses 1 to 11 or mga Gawa, Kabanata 1, Talata 1 hanggang 11. Babasahin po natin ito sa Mabuting Balita Biblia at matatagpuan po ito sa page 9 ng inyong mga bulletins or you can read along the screen. Mahal kong Teofilo, sa aking unang aklat ay isinasalaysay ko ang lahat ng ginawa at itinuro ni Jesus buhat sa pasimula. Sa loob ng 40 araw pagkatapos ng kanyang pagkamatay, nagpakita siya sa kanila at sa pamamagitan ng maraming katibayan ay pinatunayan niyang siya'y buhay. Nagturo siya sa kanila tungkol sa paghahari ng Diyos. Si Juan ay nagbautismo sa tubig, ngunit di magtatagal ay babautismuhan kayo sa Espiritu Santo.
Nang makaipon si Jesus at ang mga alaga, nagtanong sila kay Jesus, Panginoon, natatagal na po ba ninyo muli ang kahirian ng Israel?
Sumagot si Jesus, ang mga panahon at pagkakataon ay itinakda ng Ama sa kanyang sariling kapangyarihan at hindi na kailangan pang malaman ninyo kung kailan iyon.
Subalit, at ang pinutyo ng kahirian ng Espiritu Santo, at kayo'y magiging mga saksi ko sa Jerusalem, sa buong Judea at Samaria, at hanggang sa dulo ng daigdig.
Pagkasabi nito, si Jesus ay iniakyat sa langit habang ang mga alagad ay nakatingin sa kanya at natakpan siya ng ulap. Sabi nila, kayong mga taga-Galilea, bakit kayo nakatayo rito at nakatingin sa langit? Itong si Jesus na umakyat sa langit ay magbabalik gaya ng nakita ninyong pag-akyat niya. Mga kaibigan, ito ang salita ng Diyos. Please be seated.
I heard a story of a pastor who attended an annual pastor's conference. Ito yung nagaganap ito annually sa kanilang distrito. At kadalasan sa mga ganitong klaseng conference, may mga pastor ay nagtatanungan at nagkakamustahan sa kanilang gawain. At isa sa mga pastor, tinanong ang isang pastor ng katanungang ito. Paano nag-start ang church nyo at ilan taon na ito? Nag-isip ang pastor as he did the math sa kanyang pag-iisip. At agad niyang sinagot, ang iglesia namin ay 2,000 years old na. At mababasa ang aming church history sa account ng Book of Acts. Part ng sinabi niya ay may katotohanan, pero I think he has driven yung point. But we are starting a sermon series on a historical book. Ang tawag po rito is the Book of Acts, where traditionally it's called the Acts of the Apostles. While some scholars calls it the Acts of the Holy Spirit, some naman the Acts of Jesus Christ, while some prefer the Acts of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. So, dahil we see sa account na ito, ang continuing work ni Jesus through the Holy Spirit empowering His people. Ang Book of Acts is the record of the transition ng redemptive history. It describes ang history and mission ng early church. And since bahagi tayo ng church's history and mission, this is a significant and even exciting book to study. Aaralin natin ngayong gabi na ito ang chapter 1, verses 1 hanggang 11. So I'd like to invite you, kung wala pa ho ang Bible natin, hindi pa nakabukas dito, sa Acts chapter 1, verses 1 hanggang 11. Let me start by giving you main idea natin ngayong gabi. The ministry work of Jesus is continued through emboldened, empowered, and enabled witnesses. The ministry work of Jesus is continued through emboldened, empowered, and enabled witnesses. We have divided yung passage into 3 points. Number one, the resurrection emboldens, verses 1 hanggang 3. Second, the mission is empowered, verses 4 hanggang 8. And number 3, the ascension enables, verses 9 hanggang 11. Number 1, the resurrection emboldens. Basahin po natin muli ang verse 1 hanggang 2. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. The book of Acts ay ang second part of a two-volume book na kung saan isinulat ni Luke. Ang unang volume ng kanyang sinulat ay yung Gospel of Luke, where he writes an orderly account ng life at saka teaching ni Jesus Christ. Although hindi niya na-mention ang sarili niya bilang author ng libro na ito, kapansin-pansin sa kanyang pagkakasulat ang mga participated events na kung saan involved siya. Mapapansin natin yon sa Acts 16, 20, 21, 27, and hanggang 28, kasi madalas niyang ibanggit yung pronoun na we. Ang tawag po dyan is yung we section ni Luke, na kung saan he's pertaining yung we silang dalawa ni Paul. Okay? As he writes his material, he has received great wealth of information galing sa Apostle Paul himself at sa mga kaibigan niyang mga apostles. Scholars notice na ang Greek writing niya ay well-refined at literally quality. At dapat lang po, kasi siya ay isang well-educated na Griego o Gentile. He was born to a Gentile or Greek family who he probably heard the gospel through the ministry preaching ni Apostle Paul. And ever since na nakakilala siya sa Panginoon, ay siya na po ay naging faithful travel companion ni Paul. Now, Luke is a historian and also a physician. O sa panahon natin ngayon ay isang doktor, kaya some professors would call him Dr. Luke. So si Dr. Luke, kung iisipin po natin, kung kasama niya lagi si Paul sa kanyang mga travels, is really providential para kay Paul. Kung meron mang kailangan ng personal doktor ay si Paul. We read stories na kung saan ginulpi siya at iniwan na lang sa labas, na kung saan na-shipwreck siya, na natuklaw na nga. Maraming mga scenario si Paul because of the gospel is marami siyang pinagdadaanan. So marami siyang karamdaman. So I think it is indeed providential to have Dr. Luke with him. Now nabanggit sa verse 1 ng Luke 1 at saka sa Acts 1 at saka sa Luke chapter 1 verse 3 na he is writing to a man named Theophilus. Theophilus. Na wala tayo masyadong impormasyon kay Theophilus, maliban lamang that he appears to be a man of high social standing, na kung saan malapit siya kay Dr. Luke, and he is believed to be also a Gentile Christian. He is believed to be an early supporter ng Christian Church, and also probably funded yung pagsulat ng two-volume book ni Luke. Nung panahon na ito, news came out from the apostles Paul, John, and Peter na meron daw mga false Christians and apostles who are teaching wrong things about Jesus Christ, His message, His ministry, and life. Na maaaring nagdudulot po ng pag-aalinlangan sa pananampalataya ni Theophilus. And so Luke wrote these books to him so that he would have confidence in what he knew and believed about Jesus Christ, His life, His gospel, and His teachings. Tignan po natin yung sinabi ni Luke sa Luke chapter 1, verse 3 hanggang 4. It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainly concerning the things that you have been taught. And what better way to assure Theophilus, to assure the disciples' confidence in Jesus? The better way to do it is by mentioning that Jesus rose from the grave. Now, immediate context po neto is after Christ's crucifixion, His disciples were devastated. They were devastated. They were in a hiding. They're scared for their lives, confused, reluctant. Yung iba bumalik sa pangingisda. They have no idea kung ano nangyayari. Because all the while, they thought that Jesus Christ, the Jesus of Nazareth, is the promised Messiah. That He will be the one to save them. Pero of all of that, for the past 3 years na sila ay talagang naging avid follower ni Jesus, He was killed. He was crucified. And they lost their confidence, perhaps. They were disheartened, discouraged, and scared. But the good news is Christ did not remain dead. Nabuhay siya muli, and He didn't appear to the Sanhedrin when He rose from the grave. He did not appear to Pontius Pilate. He did not show Himself sa mga crowd who crucified Him, but He showed and appeared to His beloved disciples. Sa Luke chapter 24, verses 13 hanggang 35, He appeared to two disciples on the road to Emmaus and explained to them the Old Testament, that it was necessary for Christ to suffer and be crucified before entering into His glory. Pagkatapos po noon, napunta na sila sa bahay ng dalawang disciple na to, and Jesus Christ prayed. Of course, they do not know na si Jesus Christ to because Jesus has not revealed Himself yet to them. Pero after He broke the bread, which is very familiar, no? It immediately clicked sa kanila. Ikaw si, biglang nag-vanish. Wow! Yun po talaga nangyari. He vanished in thin air sa harapan nila. Sa Luke 24, 36 to 44, nagpakita siya ulit sa 11 disciples at ilang mga disciples na nasa loob din ng bahay na ito. At pinakita ang kanyang kamay, marahil kung saan siya napako, pinakita ang kanyang paan sa account ni John nang pinakita rin yung tagiliran niya. Okay? At humingi pa ho siya ng inihaw na isda para kainin sa harapan nila to prove na ako to, to prove I am alive, to prove that this is not a ghost. Remember, if they're wondering na, see, I just couldn't imagine, and just si Jesus kumakain, and they're go like, what about si Jesus ito? But then again, hindi lang isa, dalawa, o tatlong beses nagpakita si Jesus. Basahin po natin sa verse 3 ngayon ng Acts 1. He presented Himself alive to them after His suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Hindi lang dalawang beses, tatlong beses nagpakita si Kristo sa kanila, but multiple times provided much evidences that He is indeed alive, that He is the Christ, that He has fulfilled Old Testament passages that talks about resurrection, that Psalm 16, 10, Psalm 22, Isaiah 53. I am the fulfillment ng Old Testament passages na ito. He spent 40 days discipling and teaching them about the kingdom of God, which was central sa earthly ministry ni Jesus. Ang kingdom of God dito does not mean a political or military kingdom, but the spiritual reign or rule of God over the hearts of those who trusted Him for salvation, transforming their hearts and lives to serve Him alone. Yun ang ginagawa ni Kristo. This fulfills prophetic hope then sa Old Testament in Isaiah 32, in Ezekiel 36, at Joel chapter 2. Jesus' resurrection encouraged the disciples' faith. Hindi lamang dahil sa physical appearance, hindi lang sa multiple times, but because Jesus was embodying Old Testament scripture. They are reminded of Old Testament scripture. Mga kaibigan, tayo po'y nakatira sa isang bansa na sumasamba sa iba't ibang klaseng Diyos-Diyosan. At ang malaking pagkakaiba ng Diyos natin sa kanila, ang Diyos ng Kristyanismo, ang Diyos ng Biblia, sa mga Diyos-Diyosan ng mga relihiyon sa bansa na ito, ay yung Diyos po natin ay buhay. Our God is alive. He's not a figment of one's imagination. He's not built from stone or metal. He is alive, flesh and blood and spirit. We have many reasons, friends, to rejoice and be encouraged because of this truth. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 argues this. But let me give you a few reasons to be emboldened and encouraged sa resurrection na ito. A few of many. First of all, because Christ has risen from the grave, Jesus' promises are trustworthy. Jesus' promises are trustworthy. He mentioned three times sa Luke that He will die and will rise from the grave. Three times. Think about it. Pinulfil niya yon. Think about it. If Jesus fulfilled these amazing promises of death and resurrection, how can we not depend on and live by all the rest of His promises? We can live sa kanyang promises because we are the people of the Word. Second, those who trust in the resurrection, the resurrected Christ, are saved. Those who trust the resurrected Christ are saved. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17 tells us, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Christ's death on the cross is the basis of our justification. Through the one act of righteousness, the propitiation by His blood, lahat ng mga kasalanan ng sumampalataya sa Kanya are declared righteous sa harapan ng Diyos. And so in Christ's resurrection, God declared His approval, His satisfaction sa sacrifice ni Christ sa cross para sa ating kasalanan. It was accepted. He was satisfied. Christ's substitutionary death was accepted and was demonstrated by raising Him from the dead. The proof that He was satisfied sa sacrifice ni Christ ay binuhay siya ng Diyos. Brother, friends, if this is the truth of the gospel, if this is the hope, if this is a promise that we can put our hopes on, then I urge you to repent from your sins. Repent of sins of self-reliance, self-glory, self-worship. Repent from worshiping other gods, dead gods. And turn to Christ's finished work on the cross for salvation. Repent and believe, and we will receive the favor of God. Third, we have real good news to share. Dahil Christ resurrected, we have a real good news to share. Talagang may tunay tayong mabuting balita na pwede i-proclaim. So verse 15, chapter 15, verse 14 of 1 Corinthians. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Simply put, if Christ didn't rise from the grave, then we have no good news to share. Kung hindi nabuhay muli ang ating Panginoon Jesucristo, wala tayong mabuting balita. Ang pinakamabuting balita lang na pwede ho natin i-communicate sa isang tao na nagsastruggle sa kanyang kasalanan is kailangan gumawa ka pa ng mga mabubuting bagay. That your good deeds should outweigh your evil deeds. And we all know from Scripture that's not going to happen. That is impossible. We cannot. We do not have the ability to do so because all our righteous acts, Isaiah 64:6, are filthy rags in sight of a holy, just God. So it's impossible. If Christ ay hindi muli nabuhay, wala tayong mabuting balita. Wala ho tayong mabuting balita. Because Christ has risen from the grave, we have hope for the future. We have hope for the future. Which means your life right now is not your best life now. That our best life is yet to come when we see our Maker face to face. Friends, if this is your best life now, if this is my best life now, this is really discouraging. Because it's imperfect, it's sinful, it's filthy. It's tiring, there's no peace. There's a lot of weariness. So be careful on aspiring your best life now. But pursue righteousness and holiness only in Christ. Now when we get to see Him face to face, we will definitely by then understand what is our best life. For those who just lost a loved one, I'm sorry, or about to. Those who have placed their faith on the risen Christ, I might hope. You have hope. Hope for what? To see Him? To see her? To see si Mama, si Papa, si Lolo, si Lola? To see si baby muli. Because there's an assurance that we will get to see Jesus one day. And all of those who have gone before us, who have placed their faith in Christ, ay magkakaroon ng isang grand reunion na wala ng goodbyan, if you may. Ang mga disciples ni Jesus Christ, alam nilang Scripture. They know Scripture. They know their Old Testament. They know their Old Testament. And throughout the book of Acts, we hear powerful preachers. Preachers who are emboldened because of the understanding of God's Word and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We hear Peter preach later on in Acts chapter 2. Makikita natin, we hear a powerful sermon from Stephen that cost his life. We will hear Paul preach, and lahat ng kanilang gospel presentation ay kinonek nila lahat sa Old Testament passages. Friends, what does this teach us? That we should grow in our understanding of the truth of Christ and His gospel. That we should grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Friends, could it be that part of the reason kung bakit natatakot tayo to engage others with the gospel ay dahil sa kakulangan natin sa kaalaman nito? Because of fear na baka may itanong sa atin, wala tayong masagot? Why we shy away and shrink if the truth needs to be defended? Bakit tayo umiiwas sa opening prayer o sa prayer sa pagkain, sa birthday yan? Could it be that there is a lack of understanding or knowledge about your Savior? Friends, let us grow in our knowledge of God's Word and the Gospel and be bold proclaimers of this truth. How many times that a loved one, maybe every day, nakasama natin sa bahay, na dapat sharan ang salita ng Diyos, na dapat sharan ang Gospel because of our timidness, pinalalagpas natin yung pagkakataon. Oh, Pastor, amen, tama yan, i-preach mo yan, dala ko, lagi ko na siya. How about yung Gospel living, yung witness sa loob ng bahay? Bold tayo proclaimers, nakikita ba yung witness sa ating pamumuhay? Hindi lamang sa bahay. And later we will talk more about that kung saan natin i-share. But friends, let us grow in our knowledge of God's Word and His Gospel, and let us be emboldened, be confident to answer difficult questions, or at least attempt to study and then balikan nyo sila pag hindi nyo nasagot. Because this is the truth that saved you. And that this truth could be the very truth. And it is the very truth that could save them. Wala nang ibang gospel. D.R. Carson, I quote, says, "We are dealing with God's thoughts. We are obligated to the greatest pains to understand them truly and to explain them clearly." I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy. That's why you kailangan trabahuin ito. Kailangan i-labor ang pag-aaral na ito. Pastor, hindi ko kaya mag-isa. Then this is the beauty of community, hindi ba? Ask someone to help you open the Bible. Ask someone to help you understand difficult passages. And not just by explaining them, but how to apply them and how to glorify God with that understanding. Hindi lang basta alam ko. Pero knowing the gospel is not enough. We need to be empowered. Which we go to our second part. The mission is empowered. Verses 4 and 5. "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" Now, 3 years back, or 3 years earlier, John the Baptist, Luke chapter 3, verse 3, was preaching a message of repentance and forgiveness for sins and was inviting people to be baptized. Of course, John's baptism points to that greater baptism na kung saan gagawin ni Jesus Christ. Kaya nung akala nila na si John the Baptist ay yung mismong Messiah, nilinaw niya agad na hindi nga ako karapat-dapat na kung saan yung trabaho ng alipin na mismo kunin o linisin ang kanyang sinelas. So, hindi ho siya yun. But he will, this Messiah, John quickly points to that Messiah, he will baptize you with the power of the Holy Spirit. Sabi niya sa Luke chapter 3, verse 16, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." And now Jesus instructs his disciples na manatili muna sila sa Jerusalem dahil in a few days he will send the promised Spirit from the Father. Mangyayari ito sa pag-aaral natin when we go to chapter 2. So, time ng Pentecost where they are baptized with the Holy Spirit at salvation. Now, ang word baptism, the Greek is baptizo, means to immerse. Either to immerse something or immerse someone, usually sa tubig. Okay? So, kapag sinabi natin baptism of the Holy Spirit, it is an act of Christ by which He places a believer, immerses him into his body, or to the body, or the church. Hundreds of years ago, the prophets from God foretold that one day God's Spirit would pour out to His people. Sabi sa Ezekiel 36, verse 26, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. The Spirit of God will enter in and will signal the inbreaking of the kingdom of God and His saving reign, and will arrive in power and will establish among peoples at ipupuksain lahat ng mga kaaway ng Diyos." Kaya napatanong ang mga disciples sa verse 6. Yun ba ang mangyayari pag dumating yung baptism of the Holy Spirit? Eto na ba yung mangyayari na kung saan the kingdom of God is? Kaya napatanong sila sa verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked Him, "Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Well, I was reading this and I had some discussions with other people. And sabi nila, just imagine, 40 days kasama si Jesus Christ talking about the kingdom of God, and it seems like hindi nila nakuha. Well, Jesus answered him patiently and somehow gave them a direct answer. Sabi sa verse 7, He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority." Alam mo, kung iisipin natin yung question, it does make sense. Jesus the Messiah was raised from the dead, and in a few days, darating ang Holy Spirit and will break in as a sign of the kingdom. Parang ito na yun. Siguro napatanong sila. Well, medyo may pagkatama siguro yung kanilang tanong, pero ang totoo niyan, hindi talaga. Kasi hindi pa, they're thinking of an earthly kingdom, yung mga disciples. They're thinking about a monarchy, an earthly monarchy, a political kingdom, a military kingdom. That's why they asked that question. Ang kingdom will arrive in two stages. The first stage has begun. Nagsimula na. Which is yung pagdating ni Christ, where the king is, there is the kingdom. At yung second ay hindi pa nangyayari kasi mangyayari lamang ito sa pagbalik ng Panginoon Hesukristo. The kingdom was inaugurated, pero parang mustard seed pa lang siya, which is ang mustard seed, isa sa mga maliliit na buto o bidhi, na kapag tinanim mo, yung pag naging halaman at naging puno, ito yung pinakamalaking puno na mapapansin mo sa iyong hardin. Okay? Ito ang analogy ng kingdom na binigay ni Luke sa chapter 13. It initially began small, mga apostles, a few believers, but will eventually grow big and it will be unstoppable. At paano mangyayari ang paglago na ito? Well, mangyayari yung paglago na ito through Spirit-empowered witnesses. Look at in verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So Jesus promised the Holy Spirit coming, which we'll study sa chapter 2, sa Pentecost. At kapag nangyari ito, He will send them all on a mission. So parang itong first few 11 verses, it parang yung summary kung anong gagawin ng Panginoon natin sa Book of Acts, yung mangyayari. Kung mapapansin nyo, ang outward expansion plan ni Jesus. Nakita nyo ba yun? Yung second part of verse 8. There's this outward expansion, a plan from the upper room to the ends of the earth. Yung plano. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the world. Daan-daan siya papalayo ng papalayo sa Jerusalem. Yung pag-share ng gospel, paglago ng kingdom. When we planted Crossroads, our heart is para sa ating mga kababayan sa Deira. And as mentioned earlier, for some reason, God has placed us dito. But through the grace of God, we have seen gospel growth regardless kung saan niya tayo nilagay. We have seen some of people from this community come and came to faith in Christ. There are those na kung saan who traveled. There was a season na kung saan pinakinggan tayo from different parts of the United Arab Emirates and even other Middle Eastern countries at the Pilipinas. And why am I saying this? Because the gospel is unstoppable. It's not because of us. Because ito yung plano ng Panginoon sa churches, is for gospel, for Christ to make, to be known through all the world. I remember a pastor who preached this, and he used in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the world, as a way how to think about sharing the gospel. Sabi niya, sa Jerusalem, which is your hometown, para sa life mo, think about your family. Think about your family, mga anak mo, asawa mo, mga pamangkin, pinsan, lolo, lola. Share the gospel sa kanila. And don't stop there. Punta ka sa Judea. So palayo, palabas. Pagdating sa Judea, ito man yung kapitbahay ninyo. Mga katrabaho ninyo. Yung mga kasamahan mo sa commute. And then Samaria. So, why not yung mga communities ng Dubai? Some areas ng Emirates. And the ends of the world, ibang bansa. So makita natin yung expansion po na yan, yung location. So, it's good to see how we're reaching out some of these areas. Okay? The Lord has caused us to reach some of the areas through the Bible studies, through discipleship, through even our online medium. And we praise God for that. But we need to keep going. We need to keep striving. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to reach more people with the gospel. We're praying na kung saan hindi lang mga Pilipino maabot natin. Because I believe yung Great Commission ay hindi lamang sa mga mono-ethnic group. The Great Commission is for all nations. We're praying, and we open this to the elders, na hopefully that we would support a foreign missions. Na kung saan hindi ho dito sa Dubai o Pilipinas, kung hindi taga-ibang bansa, where the gospel ay kailangan na kailangan. We already have a name. We're just praying and planning kung paano gagawin yun. We're hoping na kung saan to reach yung area of Olinandera, na hopefully na maging springboard siya in reaching other communities and other areas for the gospel, and hoping that through as we grow, that we are able to plant churches. All of this to expand yung kingdom ng Panginoon. All of this for people to come to a saving knowledge of Christ and join us in worshiping our Savior. May isang professor na sinabi sa estudyante niya na pastor sa seminary, kadalasan daw we overestimate ang pwede nating gawin in 3 to 5 years and underestimate ang kaya natin ma-accomplish ng 10 to 15 years. Alam mo, magandang paalaala po sa atin ito bilang iglesia. No? Let us not underestimate what God can do through us in the next 10 years. Let us not underestimate what God can do to us for the next 3 years, for the next year, for the next few months, for the next few weeks. God can do amazing things in and through us. And as we go and become faithful stewards ng message ng gospel na ito, we must be reminded na hindi dapat ako yung kaalaman ko, hindi dapat ang galing ko, dahil ang galing ng church namin. We must rely completely in the power of the Holy, in the Holy Spirit. When I was in seminary, isa sa mga pinagagawa sa amin before is meron kaming evangelism class. So of course, they're teaching us how to share the gospel. So mga pastor kami, that we still need to be reminded of that. And bigyan kami ng checklist na kung saan at least may number. At least ang goal daw is makasampu ka kada week ng pag-share ng gospel. So binibigyan kami sa different locations, hindi lamang sa mga area na gusto namin. So it's a project, it's an exercise, but at first I was uncomfortable and marami akong pushback, but really it was beneficial. So one thing, you know, na-discourage na ako sa pag, I was a youth pastor back then, and I was really getting discouraged dahil I feel na hindi ako pinakikinggan or pinipiloso po ako lagi. So I said, like, you know what, I think sharing the gospel sa outreach na yan, hindi ata ako para dyan. Bigyan mo na lang ako ng pulpit para walang sasagot. So yun ang piloso po ko sa kanya. And then he reminded me a quote from the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. Bill Bright. Bill Gates Christian. Bill Bright. Na kung saan ang parang organization ngayon ay crew. Okay? Sabi niya is this. He encouraged me and reminded me and challenged me and rebuked me. Sharing the evangelism is taking the initiative to share the gospel with the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. Yes, God is sovereign. He will save those He will save. But guess what? We are the means to that end. If we're sharing the gospel to a loved one and we're now discouraged, take heart. We don't control results. If you remember sa ating decisions class, ang pinag-usapan natin doon is huwag tayong maging outcome focus kung hindi maging faithfulness focus. We must be faithful to herald the gospel of Christ, cross and empty tomb, kahit na ayaw nila. Because that's what we're called to do. We're called to be faithful stewards of the gospel. But leave the results to God because repentance is a gift. And so is salvation. And if you're hearing this right now and you have a loved one who's been what feels like nagging you all the time about the gospel, pray that the Holy Spirit would break your hard hearts. That He would take you out of darkness and put you into His marvelous light. That He would transform your hearts of stone to a heart of flesh. That you would weep and wail sa iyong kasalanan. And that you would see the beauty in Christ who died for that sin. Pray, friends, pray. This is beyond the pastor. This is beyond your friends na nag-invite sa'yo dito. This is beyond your parents. This is beyond your children. This is the miracle working power of the Holy Spirit. So hanggang kailan mo ire-reject ang gospel? This is the reason why we started Crossroads. Is to see people come to a saving knowledge of Christ by faithfully heralding the gospel of grace. We don't force people to receive Christ. That's borderline evil para sa akin. Because you're taking the place of the Holy Spirit. But leaving the results to God. Tony Merida says, the ordinary people of God, equipped with the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, dedicated to the Son of God, can accomplish the mission of God. If there is repetition, there is emphasis. Who's going to do it at the end? It's God. The kingdom arrived. It took root in the hearts of His people by the Holy Spirit. The great commission has been given. But before the mission, Jesus needs to be enthroned. Number three and last. The ascension enables. Verse 9. And when He had said these things, as they were looking on, He was lifted up, and a cloud took Him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as He went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. So while Jesus was giving the great commission, sa harapan ng mga disciples, a cloud lifted Him up ng dahan-dahan. In a way, it seems like He is flying slowly up in the air, levitating until the sky, makarating sa sky, and the cloud covered Him. So He flew. This cloud, however, reminds us of the pillars of cloud and fire, sa Exodus 13. Daniel's vision of the Son of Man, Daniel 7. And Jesus' transfiguration, sa Matthew 17. This is the glorious exaltation of Christ. Some scholars believe that this is the fulfillment of Psalm 24, verses 7 to 10, and I'd like to read that to you. Psalm 24, verses 7 to 10. Verse 7. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Such wonderful fulfillment, Old Testament unfolded in the eyes of the saints. God the Father seated Christ in the heavenly realms sa kanyang kanang kamay, at the right hand side. Jesus is enthroned as the universal King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Brother Bon prayed area kanina that talks about he is the high priest who is now interceding for us. Nakatulala ang lahat ng disciples nung lumipad si Christ. Kasi first time nila nakita yon. Just imagine may someone flow in front of you. I mean, they saw Jesus walked on water. They saw he multiplied fish and bread. Rose from the grave. That was just a few days ago. And then fly. Just imagine. Kung ikaw yun talagang nasan ba eh? Siyempre, ano ba mali na? Kasi they were overtaken by this phenomenon. Okay? Until na kinall out sila, somehow, pinaalalahanan sila ng mga angels sa verse 11. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who has taken up from you in heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go to heaven. Sabi nila, Jesus will come back at katulad ng pag-asen niya na visible, bodily, ganun din pagbalik niya, visible and bodily. Pero hindi na sa few apostles, kundi sa buong mundo. Everybody in the world will see it. And when he comes back, he will be the dreadful judge to those na hindi pa niya anak. And the final consummation of his plan, bringing the new heavens and new earth, which you will see in Revelation 21. The ascension was so necessary, was also necessary, so that Jesus could send the Holy Spirit to enable, empower his disciples, his followers, to fulfill the Great Commission. Sabi ni Luke 24:52-53, after receiving the instructions from my angels, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Yun ang nangyari after they have seen the ascended Jesus, after the angels reminded them, huy, babalik si Kristo kung para sa kumalot, so huwag tayo natitingin-tingin lang dyan sa taas. Okay, added anecdote. Pero yun yung point eh. Yung response nila was glorious. They worshipped Jesus. They returned to Jerusalem, sabi dyan, with great joy. Oh, brothers and sisters, ano dapat ang response natin sa ating resurrected King? Our response ay dapat katulad din ng mga disciples. We should be joyfully worshiping our King. We should joyfully obey our King as we wait for His coming. The ministry of Jesus continues because He's not dead. Nagpapatuloy po siya. Jesus is alive. It continues because through the witnesses like us, the gospel will continue to advance dito sa Jebel Ali, sa Deira, sa Dubai, Pilipinas, and beyond. And we will continue, Lord willing, to do this until Jesus comes. And while we do this, and while we wait, we should be active waiting, serving, heralding the gospel with joy. Baka naman pag nagsishare tayo ng gospel, napipilitan lang tayo. There should be joy. This glorious anticipatory type of waiting. This joy and excitement because we long to hear, well done. Well done. Good. And faithful servant. If you're here today and you're faithfully serving the Lord privately and you are not receiving any commendation, hindi ka napapasalamatan, hindi ka na-appreciate, take heart. Kasi, maalala ng Panginoon, if you've done that for Christ, that will be remembered. And Jesus will be glorified. The ministry work of Jesus, hindi natapos sa Luke. The ministry work of Jesus is continued through the emboldened, empowered, and enabled witnesses like you and me. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for saving us. We know we do not deserve such grace. You did not treat us as our sins deserve. We deserve death. Thank you for Christ who died for us, who was buried, who was resurrected, who is now ascended, sitting at your right hand, interceding for us. Lord, thank you, O Lord, how we long for his return. We long. And as we wait, Father, help us not to be complacent. Help us not to be too comfortable. Help us to walk in faith. Oh, Father, as a church, we're praying, kung iloloob ninyo, we're praying by faith, in faith, that you would grant us the permit, the people, and the provisions in order for us to be a gospel witness in Vera and beyond. We ask this in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we joyfully worship our King, our risen King.